We're celebrating the Ascension. Am I speaking too loudly? It's the day we reflect on Jesus' final leaving of the disciples in the form that they were familiar with. As we begin, I'd like to situate the Ascension in the largest story of the Paschal mystery, that is, the life, death, resurrection and glorification of Jesus. This mystery forms the central part of our faith, our worship, and shapes the liturgical year. Clearly, the founders of the church believe this to be important. Is it still important for us today, here in the 21st century? Well, I'd like to suggest that it is. I'd like to suggest that the Paschal mystery discloses the way that Jesus came to show us how to live, the way of transformation, the fundamental reality animating all of creation. There are six movements in this Paschal mystery: Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Day, the 40 days, Ascension, and Pentecost. Each represent a place on the journey of transformation and form an ongoing cycle. As a spiritual director, I meet people at different points along this journey and accompany them on the way. And I'm going to weave in the traditional understandings of each of these points on the way and something that I've experienced of the people I've journeyed with in this next little bit. So let's start at the end. That's also the beginning. Good Friday. Good Friday. It's the place of death. It's where we name our deaths, where we start to come to terms with our deaths. And what are deaths? Could be the end of a marriage, could be loss of a job, it could be poor health, it could be a terminal medical diagnosis. It could be all sorts of things that we experience as death. And we begin to disintegrate. Our life falls apart. That's often when people start coming to spiritual direction. They think it's the end. I know, and hold in my heart, it's actually a beginning. Then there's Holy Saturday, this place of emptiness, nothing left, all hope's gone, everything's dead. There's a kind of waiting, but waiting with no sense that something could change. It's desert, dark night, feels like chaos. And then, in its own good time, for us we only have to wait a day between Good Friday and Easter Day, but sometimes it can be a lot longer. In its own good time, the new vision emerges and comes as gift. The resurrection, some way in which new life is emerging. My example that I hold on to is the sense of what happens after a bushfire. I used to live in Bundina, and we often experienced bushfires in the national park, really traumatic bushfires, and I know many people have with the fires of the last few years. And what I found as a miracle was, after that complete devastation, everything dead, everything black, not a shred of anything on the ground, and then it rains, and the next day it's like the ground is covered in green down, little new shoots of life. That feels to me what resurrection is like. resurrection, we have these other bits that often we forget about. We have what we call the 40 days, which is basically just a period of time, maybe a long period of time. And during that time, we're getting used to this new idea. We're starting to experiment with, well, what's life for me now? I've got this sense, this gift that there is new life, but it's different from the old life, so how do I live it? And so there's a whole lot of experimentation, getting used to it. And we see that with the disciples of Jesus during this time. You know, it's like, now I'm here and now I'm not. You're coming through locked doors. So there's something different and we're trying to get used to it. And then after whatever period of time it is, we get to the place where we're able to surrender what was and let it go. And that's the moment of ascension. Ascension is when the disciples were able to let Jesus go and receive the blessing of the Christ. That's what we're going to focus on. And then, of course, there's Pentecost, which is, in fact, the time where we embrace the life that we're already living. The disciples, after the ascension, go to the upper room and they're praying. Unlike the resurrection, where they go, well, go off fishing. They go back to the old after the resurrection because they don't know what to do. By the time they've got to the ascension, something has moved and shaped them so that they now go and pray. And then they receive the fullness of the Spirit, come back to wholeness. And we all know in the cycle of life that that doesn't last forever, and then another death comes along and the cycle goes on again. So this journey can be applied both individually and corporately. We can find the cycle lived out in all of creation, and I've alluded to it in the bushfire. It's like a blueprint built into the fabric of life. Jesus lived it fully, and the early founders of the church recognized the importance of understanding and remembering this wisdom. Thus, it forms the centerpiece of the liturgical year. In this Paschal mystery, often the 40 days and ascension are not really considered, and yet they are essential parts of the process. So I'd like to focus on them for the rest of my reflection. So what's happening during this time, during these 40 days? So prior to death and resurrection, Jesus had been with them as a human person. During the time between the resurrection and ascension, Jesus had been getting them used to experiencing him in a different way. As I said, like, now you see me, now you don't. During this time, he's still Jesus. He's still the Jesus that they knew, but at the same time, he's somehow different. After the resurrection, the disciples were absolutely overjoyed. Jesus is alive. The whole project is back on track. Their hopes have been restored. Jesus would lead them again, and Israel would be restored. Jesus was still trying to get through to them that this was not what he was about. He was about something different right up until the time he was leaving. We heard that in the reading tonight. And then he's gone. So I'd like to use this icon, which is here and which is going to come up onto the screen, to help us reflect on the meaning of the ascension. Now, this icon is a way in which the church has imagined this event, not so much as a photographic portrayal, but more like a spiritual illustration. An icon is more like a window than an artwork. We gaze through the icon to encounter God, and God gazes through the icon to encounter us. This ascension icon shows Christ in a mandala, or sacred space, with angels being escorted to heaven, while his mother Mary stands with angels and the faithful disciples. Notice that Jesus is smaller than Mary and the disciples. Notice too that the bottom half of the icon holds confusion and uncertainty. It's a representation of the church, not an historical depiction, but a theological one. The focus of the lower part of the icon is the Theotokos, the God-bearer, Mary. She looks straight out at us, and I always feel like she's saying to me, well, what are you going to do about it? We've done our bit, now it's over to you. How are you going to bear the divine in the world? The disciples are all over the place. Some looking up, some looking at Mary, some looking at each other, some looking at the angels. They are in an in-between place, a liminal space. They need to let go of the physical presence of Jesus so they can receive the blessing of the ascending Christ. As we can see, there are two distinct parts to the story: Jesus leaving and the disciples left. So let's reflect on Jesus leaving first. Jesus said it was to the disciples' advantage that he go away in John 16:7. How can this be? How is it better for Jesus not to be with them? Just imagine how the disciples were feeling and thinking. In fact, the days after the resurrection were schooling the disciples in recognizing Jesus in a different way. It was changing their perception from a flesh and blood Jesus to something different. Someone whom it took a while to recognize, even for those who loved him the most, like Mary Magdalene. So he was different somehow. And we hold John 16:7 together with the end of Matthew, where Jesus says, "Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So he's leaving and staying. How do we understand this? I suggest that it's more helpful to think of Jesus as receding or fading rather than leaving. The icon suggests this in the relative size of the two parts of the picture. Jesus up in the cloud surrounded by angels is smaller than the group of disciples below. So he didn't so much leave as change the way he was present, or he left to be present in a different way. The angels, with the disciples, are trying to encourage the disciples to remember how Jesus had been training them to recognize him in the past 40 days, and saying, "He'll come again. He'll come again and again in the same mysterious way he kept showing up and disappearing in these past 40 days. You can't see him with your eyes anymore. You'll recognize him with your heart." And that's what Jesus is trying to teach them. Think of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us? You'll recognize him with your hearts. And this is indeed how we've been recognizing him ever since. As Rowan Williams says, Jesus hasn't just gone away, he's gone deeper into the heart of reality, our reality and God's. He's become far more than a visible friend and companion. He has shown himself to be the very centre of our life, the source of our loving energy in the world, and the source of our prayerful, ongoing challenge of the Ascension is to be like the disciples and let our fixed image of Jesus go. We need to be in the dance of holding on and letting go, so we can continually discover the more, the depth, the mystery of the risen Christ. I'd like to conclude this reflection by coming back to the Paschal mystery, this cycle of life. So, we've experienced a death. We've sat in the dark, chaotic mess until a new vision has emerged, a new idea, a new way to live life, a sense of hope reborn, new, small, fragile though it may be. And now we find ourselves in this liminal space, this 40 days. We have a sense of something new, some new possibility for life. And at the same time, we long for what was before, how things used to be, how we used to be. We experiment with how life could be now, what might work for us. And most importantly, we grieve. We lament what we no longer have or are. Finally, we find a resting place where we can open our hands and let go of the past that we've been clinging to. Remember Mary Magdalene on Easter Day. In her joy of recognition, she took hold of Jesus. And he said, "Don't cling to me." I think that must have been the hardest thing for Mary to do. But she got it. She let him go. The Ascension invites us to let go of whatever it is that is holding us back from stepping fully into the new life that God is offering. With empty hands, we can receive the blessing of what went before. And I finish with a blessing from Jan Richardson. Stay. I know how your mind rushes ahead, trying to fathom what could follow this. What will you do? Where will you go? How will you live? You want to outrun the grief. You want to keep turning toward the horizon, watching for what was lost to come back, to return to you and never leave again. For now, hear me when I say, all you need to do is still yourself, is to turn toward one another, is to stay. Wait and see what comes to fill the gaping hole in your chest. Wait with your hands open to receive what could never come except to what is empty and hollow. You cannot know it now, cannot even imagine what lies ahead. But I tell you, the day is coming when breath will fill your lungs as it never has before. And with your own ears, you will hear words coming to you, new and startling. And you will dream dreams, and you will see the world ablaze with blessing. Wait for it. Still yourself.